Our Old Testament reading comes this evening from 1 Samuel 27, and we'll read 1 Samuel 27, the entire chapter, plus two verses of chapter 28. And you'll recall in the previous chapter that David had another encounter with Saul where he had opportunity to take Saul's life, and he was even encouraged to do so by his one of his commanders, but he didn't. He would not lay his hand on the Lord's anointed. He placed the things of God ahead of his own safety, and it seemed at that time he had utter trust in God's caring for him. It didn't matter if Saul was still alive, because David's life was in God's hands and not in Saul's hands. And David figured God would take care of Saul in due time by some other means. But the picture changes in this chapter, chapter 27, and we see some of David's failings come out again, as they have before. And so let's hear what God has for us from 1 Samuel 27. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you again for this great treasury of your truth that you have given us in the Scriptures, preserving them through centuries, even thousands of years, and bringing them into our hands in our own language, in reliable translations, and with the help of your Spirit. So many things in our favor, and so we thank you for these favors, Father, these rich blessings, and we ask once again that you would instruct us from your word as we hear it read. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then David said in his heart, "Now I will perish. I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. Then David said to Achish, "If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given me in one of the country towns, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was a year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites, for these were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as far as Shur, the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, the garments, and come back to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where have you made a raid today?" David would say, "Against the Negeb of Judah." Negeb, as I understand it, means south. So he's saying, well, in the south part of Judah. In reality, it was south of Judah, not in the south part of Judah. In the Negeb of Judah, or against the Negeb of the Jerahmeelites, or against the Negeb of the Kenites. These were all areas within the borders of Israel. Not true, though. He was down south of Israel. And David would leave neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking lest they should tell about us and say, "So David has done." Such was his custom all the while he lived in the country of the Philistines. And Achish trusted David, thinking, "He has made himself an utter stench in his people, Israel. Therefore he shall always be my servant." In those days the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." And we'll stop there. And just a couple comments on what's going on here. We have first the statement that David said in his heart, "Now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines." And yet the Philistines were the enemy of Israel. They had been a thorn in the side of Israel for decades, maybe hundreds of years. They were among the people that were to be annihilated when the Israelites came in to their land. But they never accomplished that, and the Philistines remained a problem. And so David is essentially going to the historic enemy of Israel for refuge, because he thought that was the only way to escape Saul. And then we also, another observation is, David is kind of deceptive here. He's not telling the truth about what he's doing or why he's there or what he intends to do. And sounds a little bit like the last time he was with Achish. You might recall he went to Gath. And Gath is the hometown of Goliath. And if he's still carrying Goliath's sword around, you've got to wonder what sort of looks he gets. I don't know if he was still carrying Goliath's sword, but certainly his name would be known in Gath. And how he could go there and not be killed, I don't know. But it was God's protecting hand on him. But anyway, Achish, king of Gath, had apparently a good relationship with David. And first time David went to Gath, Achish's generals didn't like it because David has killed his 10,000s. And so David pretended to be insane, and Achish said, "I don't need any more crazy men around here than I already have. Get him out of here." And David left, and he wasn't harmed. Here he's going back to the very same king, the very same town, probably the same generals, and we'll see in the next chapter next week they actually object to him going out to battle with them because they didn't trust him. But we find Achish had great trust in him to the point of wanting to make him his personal bodyguard. So there's this deception, and David says things in sort of a half-truth way that will say one thing, but Achish will understand it to mean something else, and it will keep David's true motives hidden. It seems that he falls back on this sin of deception again and again whenever he's in a bind. Not every time. Certainly didn't do that when he fought Goliath, but many times when he's in a tight spot, he'll either lie his way out of it or he'll say something that can be taken two ways, and he'll intentionally hope that his enemy takes it in a way that's favorable toward him. And then we have the location of where he was doing his fighting. He kept that a secret. And we might wonder, well, how could he be just in leaving neither man nor woman alive? But these were the enemies of Israel. These were the people who were devoted to destruction clear back in the days of Joshua. And it had not been done. It was unfinished business the Lord had. And God chose to use David. It's not clear whether David was conscious of doing the Lord's work, carrying out the Lord's mandate, or whether David was just preying on these people because he needed to supply his men with with things. It's not clear. It's quite possible that he saw these as the enemies of God and that he was carrying out the Lord's work, but we don't know his motive exactly in this. He certainly didn't want Achish to understand exactly what he was doing. And we find Achish to be very generous toward David and even trusting him with his life. Who would Achish put as his bodyguard but this man, and this man of great reputation, but a man that he seemed to implicitly trust? But we would ask, is David worthy of that trust at this point? So a couple applications. One is we look at how faithful David was in the previous chapter not to touch the Lord's anointed and seemingly not being worried about what the future would hold. And yet here, he's very worried, and he kind of takes matters in his own hands and goes to the enemy of Israel for refuge. And so, you know, the application for us is it not our tendency also to forget what God has done in the past, ignore the care and provision that he's made and all of the jams he's gotten us out of and all of the times when we thought we were dead, and then all of a sudden we realize we're still alive because God has preserved me? And yet what do? When we're in a crunch, we flee to our sin. When has sin ever helped us? Sin has done nothing but harm us, and yet that's where we go. God has done nothing but help us. Do we go to him? No. Often not. We retreat to our sinful ways. Let us flee to Christ, who has done nothing but help us, and flee from our sin, which has done nothing but hurt us. And then the second application would be just that it's a sad truth that the wicked seem more honest, more generous, more trusting than the man after God's own heart, and than we are. Are we any better than David? And I'm sure you can think of people you know who are honest, trusting, generous, and put us to shame. What are we? Well, we're like David. We're deceptive. We're treacherous. We're self-serving. And let us be instructed even by the wicked, if by no other means, that God's ways are the best ways. And being faithful to him in being trusting and honest and generous is the best thing. Well, let's pray. Father, help us in putting into practice the things we see here. We thank you for not hiding the faults of David as you had this recorded and have preserved it through the centuries. You show honestly the sin that is in even this great saint, this king, this picture of Jesus. Yet he's human, and we see in him the same sins that we see in ourselves. So help us, Father, to serve you with our whole heart and to be the image of Christ before those around us and showing them what the Christian life, what faithful living looks like, and not retreating to our sin as we so often do. And we pray this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Next is, in the bulletin, is the pastoral prayer. Now I'm just going to pray for John's application. I don't know if I've shared recently with everyone, but he's been approved by one department of the government. Now he's working with the visa department to be approved by them to have his family come. And the latest exchange of paperwork was just put in the mail successfully, and so there's progress. It's not fallen down some crack in the government bureaucracy. It seems his case is progressing, and we thank God for that. And I'll also be praying about his mother. She has gone back to the village in South Sudan where there's fighting around there, but that's where she prefers to be. And so it's not a very safe place, but I'll be leading us in prayer regarding that. Also, his brother, who was in Israel, was deported because they're just kind of cleaning house in Israel and getting the foreigners out. And so he's back to South Sudan and needs to decide where to go. Does he go where there's war, but he's in his homeland, or does he go to a refugee camp in Kenya? It's a hard decision. And then I'll be praying for some of our other members. And so let's go to God in prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, how marvelous it is that we cannot begin to fathom all of the circumstances that you orchestrate around us to bring about what you do in each of our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And we can't understand it, Father, but we do understand that you are sovereign and that you do work all things for the good of your people. And we cry out to you for the concerns regarding John's family that we have brought to you many times. We thank you for answered prayers and in so many areas, but we've seen very clear and timely answers to prayer in regard to John's application for his family and this latest set of paperwork that has been completed and turned in. We thank you for signs of progress in this process. And we pray that the outcome would be good and would come soon, that his wife and daughters would come here to join him and us. And we cry out to you once again for his mother. Bring her to salvation, we pray, and bring believers into her life who would witness to her, as surely John has and others have. And protect her, Father, that she would not fall prey to the violence that goes on around there. Provide for her in terms of food and water and shelter if she is driven from her home. Provide friends and relatives there to help her. And most of all, we pray for the work of your Spirit to grant her that peace that passes all understanding. We pray, too, for his brother, who is in a position of deciding where he will go without any really desirable options, but he must make a decision. We pray that you would guide him in that and protect him and his wife and children and guide them to a safe place, we pray. We pray also for our brother, Bob Dunn. We thank you that he's able to bring your word to us this evening, and we ask that you would assist him in that, grant him bodily strength and the spiritual strength to carry out that work that you've given him. You call us to difficult tasks, and you give us the strength to carry out that calling. We pray that you would demonstrate that in answering this prayer tonight for him as he brings the word to us. Help him, we pray, in this matter of the cancer that he has. We ask that it would be treated without difficulty and would not be a threat to his life. Grant him comfort and a sense of your presence and protection. We pray, too, for Larry Manneman. You know the leukemia that he has, and we thank you that it doesn't seem to be life-threatening, and we pray that that would continue to be true. Give Larry and Phyllis wisdom in knowing how best to treat it and when to treat it. And we pray that their doctors would be wise and would that they would also be cooperative and skillful in everything they do regarding his case. And we pray that you would bring that to a good outcome for the sake of that family. We thank you that our pastor could attend a conference this week, and we pray that you would bring him back refreshed and instructed in your word and strengthened in his soul, and we pray that you would enable him to resume his work with us, your people, this week, and that he would bring the word to us next Lord's Day, as we would hope. Father, we lift up to you our college students. We think of David and Lauren and Justin in their education and living outside the home. We pray that you would protect them and provide them with Christian friends and protect them from those who might prey on them or lead them into sin, and help them in their studies to be faithful and successful in those things. And we pray for Jesse also. We thank you that he can be in college and still living at home this year. We pray that you would grant him the same protections and the same success in those studies, and lead all of these, we pray, into their that calling that you would have for them. Give them help in their preparation, and grant them your Holy Spirit, that they would be near to you and not driven from you, as it seems so many are in their college careers, disenchanted with Christianity and straying far from Christ. We pray that this would not be the case with any of these, but that you would exercise your powerful protection over them and draw them even nearer to Christ, relying more on him every day, realizing they have none to flee to but Christ, and their only hope being in Christ, their only fulfillment being in glorifying God and enjoying him. We pray too for Mary Ashley. We thank you that she was able to transition to a different lab and a different program, and that it is working out. We pray that the course of study and the experiments and the line of inquiry that she's pursuing would prove to be useful and successful and profitable in scientific ways and in humanitarian ways, but in bringing you glory as you commission your people to explore the earth and subdue it. We pray that you would grant her success in that, and enable her to bring you great glory in those things. Protect her also, and supply every need that she has in that work and in her devotional life and personal life. We pray now, Father, that you would receive our worship. And again, we ask that you would assist your servant as he brings the message to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.